Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Brought down at 28, the Raiders are victorious in their first ever game at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Welcome to your new home, Coach. What a great performance.
How about a little Thursday night football to kind of kick things off last night? The Raiders taking care of the Saints, minus maybe the best receiver in football and Michael Thomas, but who cares? It's all part of the game. Nobody wants to hear the Jets or the 49ers whining this morning as half their roster is not playing right now. And that's the big story, of course, in the NFL is ACLs, sprained ankles, pulled hamstrings, and everything else. We say good morning to everybody. Got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. Zach's got the morning off. But Hollywood, I'll tell you what, man, you are you're a combination of Lou Gehrig, who played, what, like forever, man. Never missed games. That's you. And Cal Ripken Jr., man. You just keep rolling, man.
I appreciate the baseball references here early in the morning, Joe.
Thank you. I figured you would, being such a big fan of the sport. Hey, listen, we first of all, did you ever think we'd be talking more about Carr and less about Breeze, which did happen last night? Actually, Raiders, I got to get used to it. I'm hoping to get through this show without saying Oakland. I really am trying hard not to say Oakland today. What's the chances you and I get through this morning? And as we make reference to that beautiful stadium and everything else, that we're able to keep it in Vegas and not go back to Oakland. That's my goal this morning. That's the big goal. Because I'm still saying San Diego. I still skip, and it's not just me, especially older guys. The younger guys are pretty good with it, but I've noticed the older guys have been around the NFL a long time. They're really having trouble with saying the LA Chargers. It's killing them.
I think it becomes easier when these teams actually have homes, right? Like, you saw the Chargers are finally playing in a stadium that's their own instead of that, like, makeshift soccer stadium. And then I know the Raiders have had trouble figuring out where they're going to play recently. But last night was, wow, man, that place is pretty amazing.
You know, I thought LA the week before and that new stadium, the billions and billions of dollars spent to get that thing finally done, is gorgeous. And of course, it's going to have two teams playing there. One in the, of course, the Raiders and the Raiders. See, I did it. Chargers and Rams. But I went through that little walk last night, or the ESPN did before the game. That stadium in Vegas, all of a sudden, goes, for us sports junkies that enjoy really something where you're looking around, and every time I go to Dallas before we do the games, I just... And I'm lucky enough, Jerry Jones gave me the tour one day. Mad Dog and I got the big tour. It was really cool. He came over to us. I don't know if you remember this. We were one of the first teams to actually play at the new Dallas Stadium. So it was kind of cool. Actually, I think the first team to ever play there was St. Thomas Aquinas, which is really weird to say. It's the weirdest thing. I think they were one of the first teams, played one of those national televised games against one of those Dallas teams. But so we get there, and we're out looking at this thing that is so much bigger than anything I've ever seen, ever. You know, we look at all the new ballparks, oh, man, that's nice. And then he goes out and builds something and he's walking us around talking about, yeah, for singles people that love football, we got nightclubs over here. He goes, look at this area. Like, you can have a drink and watch the players come in and out. We found out we got fans that want to be down on the field right behind the bench just to watch the guys. And I'm thinking, man, that's the worst seat in the house to get blocked behind a bunch of 6'6", 300-pound dudes on the bench. But, you know, and he's showing this. He goes, how about the car dealership up there? And they got a car dealership in the end zone. They got seven or eight cars they're showing. God only knows how much Ford or Chevy or whoever it is. So you're going through that. The other end, they got a Miller Lite girl dancing in a cage live while your guys are trying to kick the ball. I mean, I'm just going, this thing is, you know, and Jerry's getting all fired up because Jerry Jones is all about marketing. And so we're getting this exclusive tour from the owner who took time and I just thought it was like, well, this will never happen again. And something that Mad Dog and I will be always talking about getting this as, you know, as brand new. And it was really cool. It was nice. It was a nice thing. Robert Kraft did the same thing on his new stadium. That was really cool. Came over to us before the game. So I've had two owners actually do that. But I'm seeing that thing last night, and I'm like, I got to see it. That thing just looked. Did you see they did a combination? They wanted to make sure it had the feel of the Raiders, but also all the entertainment, the great history of entertainment in Vegas. And I was just, they had great pictures on the wall. And I was like, wow, that would be really cool to see. The great acts of Vegas that have been around forever that people go for a long weekend and make sure they get to catch that show that's always been in Vegas. I mean, it was just really cool. You and I were talking before. Woody, this has got to be the number one destiny for that big, long sports weekend yet. And we were cracking up. We were going, how cool would it be to be able to catch a hockey game in Vegas, who's got a really good hockey team, on a Friday, a UFC or a boxing match at MGM on a Saturday, and then play with a little hangover and catch a 1 o'clock game or a 4 o'clock game in their new stadium. What kind of weekend would that be? That might all... I think you'd almost
be a weekend where you'd have to take Monday and Tuesday off of work.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're not looking to catch a plane back late.
Be a little bit of drinking Sunday happening there, Joe. At the risk of getting made fun of early here this morning, you know, the group chat last night was active with all the guys talking about how this needs to be a trip for us all to take to catch.
Oh no,
because you can catch a preseason game and do your draft up. You know, Vegas has all things set up to do your fantasy football drafts. You can do them anywhere, but, you know, they have these nightclub suites. I don't know if you saw those, but the suites, some of them they have, are designed to look like club, you know, club tables in a nightclub and you know, set one of those up with the boys and have a little Vegas weekend.
Yeah. I got to tell you, it's not just your guys. It's everybody I talk to.
That's the number one trip in football.
Guys
right
are
now.
Going, because listen, man, first of all, just all the entertainment. And by the way, I'm not saying this is just a guy's trip. There are going to be a lot of women going, you're not leaving me out. I'm going. If we're going to catch a show, I will go to two sporting events. If you know, let's throw in and we get to eat right and do the whole weekend. It is really hard for me to like, I saw the LA stadium and I want to see it, hopefully, over the next couple years. But if I don't, I'm okay, even though it's beautiful. And I'm just dying to see, because all of a sudden, it looks like Jerry got a little competition in Dallas, didn't it? The L.A. one looks almost, you know, with the latest stuff.
It looks bigger, doesn't it?
Well,
some of those seats, Joe, that were up in the, like, fourth deck they have there, I mean, they look really high up.
I know. It's hard to imagine anything's bigger than what Jerry Jones said. But listen, you might be right. But this one last night had a little personality to it, man. I was just looking, and like the New York one, really, like, kind of shame on New York. I mean, you got two teams with great tradition in the Jets and the Giants, and you just built just a bull with no personality. And I was like, wow, that you do a new stadium and you come up with that. And it was just, when we did our first game, it was just so disappointing. I just felt like I just got a big bowl of cereal, man. It was just, it had nothing. And then you go to Minnesota and see their new one, and Atlanta, and you see some personality. And then these things, that one last night,
I mean, it's perfect, Joe. Like, they call it the Death Star, and it looks like the Death Star. Like, it's perfect for that team.
Yeah, I don't want to get away from all things we have this morning on the show, but, yeah, it is. We always crack up. People want to go, hey, what's the Green Bay trip? Like I said, I love it. I mean, Green Bay is the history of the Green Bay Packers, and they've kept a lot of history around the stadium to make it a must-see. I still haven't been to Fenway Park. I was just telling our boss the other day, I had one chance to go 2 years ago to the Yankees and Red Sox late in the year, and we were playing up there against the Patriots, and I went up early with a group. And due to too much drinking, I couldn't make it. I didn't even attempt to.
Story of your life, Joe.
I know. Not a good love my late night, but not. I had to pay the fiddler, so I skipped and headed back to Foxborough to get ready for the game.
But you are lucky. You've been to more stadiums than most people will ever because of your job. I mean, most people will not hit every NFL stadium.
I will just say this without any of that stuff. I'm with you, though. All of a sudden, I'm watching that last night, and I'm thinking, well, we're supposed to go, and of course the team will go, but the broadcast team will not, but that's going to be on the list, man. That is definitely...
It's probably best, though, that you didn't go in a working capacity, right? Like, you need to go on that trip as a fan. Like, that's a good bye week trip for you, Joe.
Well, no,
because I can't imagine you going there and being, like, functional for the Sunday game.
Oh, no. It would definitely be... I'd be hurting on Sunday morning at about whatever time we get up for whatever time the game is, but I'd be... It would be hard to go to bed with all those lights on next door, right? It'd be hard wherever they're going to put you. You're going to see those Las Vegas lights, and it would make it a very difficult. It's time to go to bed. That would not be a good one. By the way, man, we're just besides that, and let us know, man, if because I know a lot of guys actually were planning on going to the Miami Las Vegas trip. They were going to. A lot of guys were already planning on going. I know some guys here that bought tickets to make sure they were in. We're going to sell their tickets to different people that were going there that all had the same thing in mind, right? Everybody from all over the country that's in NFL cities going, we got to do that weekend. I mean, that's a leave on Friday, and we'll see you sometime Monday when we get back trip. So, yeah, that was...
sold out their season tickets, Joe. There's a waiting list for season tickets, and I'm guessing it's not all locals. Well, I mean, the tickets, if you look at the secondary market before all the, you know, everything went to hell, they were selling for, like, double and triple the face value. I mean, it was really expensive to get into that stadium this year.
So, I know two different groups of guys that bought season tickets here in town. And their thought was they're going to go to a couple games. But they're going to do just that. They're going to sell their tickets to make sure they get their money back. And the thought was that, you know, you put it out there, people find out. And when people from all these different NFL cities, or not even NFL cities, but people are just big football fans, want to go catch a game, see that stadium, see an NFL game, and then everything else around it, right? And whether it's a wife weekend or it's just to take a buddy or two and go to the game. It's
is your wife a Vegas person?
Nope. No desire to go to Vegas. I mean, she will go if I go, hey, let's really go, but not. I don't know why. Like, she, you know, to go see a show and stuff. I'm just not, you know, just not on the top of the list. Not really the big Vegas person. But it's so crazy because everybody else around her is going, are you kidding me? Let's go to Vegas, man. It's got everything. It's a good time. And by the way, the history of the Raiders, just everything they did last night was really cool. And by the way, Raiders get a win, and the quarterback who nobody ever talks about, Derek Carr, anymore, looked pretty good last night. Three touchdowns, played well, and they beat the Saints. So it's pretty cool watching and seeing that new stadium even empty last night. I thought was pretty cool. We got a lot of stuff going on here. Armando Salguero is going to join us in a couple of minutes, talking about matchups and what has happened. Week one, it was, did we make any run adjustments to try to slow down the Patriots on the running game, which went for 217 yards? And then last week, you have your high-paid free agent, Byron Jones, go down with an injury. And so the next guy up is your first-round pick and Noah Igbinoghene, who is on Stephon Diggs, and that didn't turn out real well. And, of course, the question's been, even though they've got three really good receivers, their number one guy is Stephon Diggs. He's the big cat. And Brown's no slouch. And he, as far as that goes, their top four or five guys are all pretty damn good. But it's it went on yesterday, and everybody was asked, what are you doing? You still have X-Man over there taking somebody else. And it was a matchup they really liked once they saw you didn't make any adjustments and left Igbinoghene in the slot, actually, in some situations, trying to cover him on deep crossing routes and those type of routes, and ended up burning the Dolphins late in the game when you're trying to get a stop. So here's what Brian Flores had to say about matchups yesterday.
I would say he's healthy. We wouldn't put him out there if we didn't think he was healthy. Obviously, we had injuries yesterday, as you guys saw. But, you know, he was on Brown, and he's healthy. And to me, we just got to cover the guys that we're on. I think we had issues with Stephon Diggs. We had issues with Brown. We had issues with Beasley. So, you know, my message to the guys is, the guys we put you on, those are the guys, you know, we expect you to cover. Whether that's Noah on Diggs or Byron Jones or Diggs or X on Brown or Nick Needham on Beasley, we all just had to do a better job of covering. And, you know, we felt like that was the best matchup. So that's why we did that.
So Coach Flores kept it pretty generic about technique, and you just got to cover whoever you have. But, I mean, I have trouble believing the coach really believes that. And what he's doing, I understand. He's not going to get into specifics where it looks like he's taking a shot at a coach or a player. You can bet your butt behind closed doors, he's not saying that stuff. He's got to be looking. There's no way you put a brand new guy out there and just throw him on a guy that's as good as Stephon Diggs, who's leading the National Football League now, by the way, after 2 weeks. There's just no way you're going to leave them one-on-one. And I do respect one thing. The coach starts getting into where it looks like he's taking a shot at a defensive coach or any of his players. He'll lose them. You start doing that to media. But I will guarantee you Coach Flores is not saying that stuff behind closed doors. I'll guarantee you he's coaching them up. He's making adjustments. I saw this guy coach last year. I have trouble believing, even though he's going to take a hit for those generic comments, he's too smart a guy.
Anyway. And he did take a hit, by the way. Armando got after it pretty good.
Yesterday. Armando went after him. and to be honest, two big plays were made late in the game by Stephon Diggs when you took the lead and you were catching up. And there were two huge plays down the sideline and on a deep crossing route where, by the way, the coverage is actually pretty good on the second one, that you don't make. And you've got another guy over there that's playing the whole game. And he says, if you're playing, hey, then you're healthy enough and I'm treating you like you're 100% to take anybody. So people are going to ask, well, why not get some different matchups and let X-Man go against Stephon Diggs? So anyway, one of the topics, and by the way, all legit, not personal or anything else. I thought it was all very legit. Anyway, we're going to hear from Armando Salguero. When we come back, we'll have that for you. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. All right, that was Josh Boyer, defensive coordinator. Fresh sound from yesterday talking about it. Brian Flores answering it. Listen, man, these are things that happen when you give up 217 yards on the ground in week one and week two when you give up over 400 yards passing. And the clean pocket is one issue, which, by the way, is probably the team's looking at that more, going, we got to get more pressure on these quarterbacks. Because the one thing a lot of these routes had in common, they were all thrown down the field. They weren't short, quick passes. They were hold on to it, and guys are catching them 20, 25, 30 yards down the field. And yes, they were wide open. It's really interesting to the point some guys called me yesterday. We're all kind of talking about it. And there's some blame to go around coaches, matchups. It seems to me, watching this game, especially late in the game, when Devontae Parker, I just happened, you know, to be there and watch it. I don't know if people caught on TV, but late in the game, the Bills moved their best corner over on Devontae Parker everywhere he went. And Stephon Gilmore goes to the top guy. Like, all right, Devontae, you're the number one guy. I got you. So, you know, I get it. I get both sides of it. Well, we got three guys we couldn't cover. It's true. You couldn't cover any of them. You're exactly right. All three of them. Actually, you could throw McKenzie in there. All four of them were wide open. You're right, because they had that kind of time where everybody had a chance to get open. So then you just, which guy you want to pick on. But if you're a rookie, I don't care if you're a first-round pick rookie or a second or third. If you're starting and somebody goes down and the new guy comes in, he's getting picked on, especially if you put him on the number one receiver. Listen, Stephon Diggs is really good, really good. And they moved him in the slot. They moved him outside. He caught a deep crossing route, which actually Igbinoghene had pretty damn good coverage. I don't know how the hell he caught that ball on the sideline going out of bounds. It was just a big-time number one. That's what number one guys do. I should say that. Stephon Diggs made that play.
But, Joe, look at the impact his trade has made. I mean, look at Minnesota right now. And Kirk Cousins over there. I mean, they're a train wreck. Look at Buffalo's passing game. Look at the dramatic improvement. And I was telling you during the break, I was driving in and hearing the guys on ESPN talking about the two wide receiver trades that have made huge impacts from the offseason, and DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs now. And look at their former teams. Like, they're really struggling without these guys.
So Stephon Diggs wasn't getting the ball last year when they decided to go, we're going to run the ball. And remember the whole thing, and the two wide receivers were a little salty because they were catching so many passes. And now they're being told, hey, we got a real special running back. We got to get back to pounding the ball, and we got a great defense. So Stephon Diggs was not happy. And it's, you know, so now he's happy now because they are targeting him and he is getting treated. And by the way, when you give up a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick in the upcoming draft, and one more pick the next year for this guy, you're going to get your money's worth. And the Bills, through two games, that's been a great trade. It's been a great trade. They, I don't know how good the running game, if they would have decided they just wanted to pound the ball. They had a little bit of success running the ball too. But what the exact opposite of what we saw in week one, where the New England Patriots just got Cam, read option, it worked, and they go, well, what the hell? There's no reason to get in and start throwing the ball over the field. We can run it. We can control the ball, time of possession. They can't stop us. Averaging more than 5 yards a carry without any long runs. And they did that between their quarterback and their running backs and a little short passing game. They control things. So now the Bills come in and they're goofing around there in the third quarter and got away. And then they came back in the fourth quarter and they go, we're going to do what we did in the first quarter. We're going to start just throwing it down the field. There's no pass rush. And we got a whole bunch of guys open down the field. And I don't, most of the time, really open. I'll tell you, Beasley, you want to talk about somebody that was open. Beasley was open. Tight ends were open. Broken coverage or whatever happened at the end of the game on Brown waiting for a ball in the end zone. He's wide open. But I don't know. Is it a better matchup if you put Ogunigi on Ben Ogunigi on Igben Ogunigi on I knew I was going to say it right. They all rhymed up real quickly.
Was that three attempts?
That was three. But I got the most of it right, but the first part was a little off. But I just Brown, you put him there. I don't know. Then do they throw a bunch of passes to Brown, and how's that matchup go? But clearly the best receiver on their team, clearly. And nothing against Brown, who's a nice little speed receiver and puts up nice numbers. And he's a hometown kid out of Homestead and all that stuff I love. But the big cat on that team is a guy that you give up a first-round pick and all those other draft picks, you're bringing that dude in to be the number one cat. Like, hey, we're trading for you because you are going to be the number one dog on our team. You are going to be the lead dog. So get ready for 140 plus, you know, to 160 targets, which comes out to 8, 9, 10 targets a game plus. And that's what you're going to get. So anyway.
Well, Joe, let me ask you this, just to kind of simplify things. How concerned are you here early on this season? I mean, you've had a game in which, or two games now in which the coaches seem like they haven't been able to figure out what's coming at them. How concerned are you? Because I know everyone was, you know, kind of excited going into this season. We're going to take the momentum from last season and, you know, move it into this one. And it's just been a tough start so far. So I'm just curious how concerned you are here early on, Joe.
I am concerned. The talk was, look, we got to be a top 15 defense. That was kind of key. Not they're going to be a top five. They weren't going to be up there with, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And I didn't think they're going to be that kind of defense. But they got to be with the free agents they've added, a couple of draft picks in there for some depth, and they can slowly bring them along and rotate them in. And that's been the most disappointing. So people are getting on the coaching. Like this, like the biggest problem is not the coaching right now. The biggest problem, in my opinion, is the players are not as good as we thought they were going to be. Your number one guy's injured. So I mean, he can't even get a grade, right? You just give him an incomplete for the quarter, for the semester, because he didn't get to play in the game. Probably not going to play. I mean, if you can't play the groin in this game, it's hard to imagine 3 days later the groin gets better and you're going to play on a Thursday night football game. But I think there's a real, like the pass rush looks like last year. Not very good. Hell, it might have been better last year at times. But it's not very good right now. It's not.
I mean, there were guys that had this team going to the playoffs, Joe. I mean, I remember Peter King coming on saying he thought they'd have a chance at the division, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, listen, well, okay. I mean, I appreciate that. Peter's been around a lot, and I don't care about predictions, but I just thought.
But when you hear guys say that, your expectations, I mean, naturally, they start to go up, don't they?
No, mine were, I just was like,
I mean, these guys know what they're talking about. It's not like they just, you know, come on here and just spitball this stuff. Like, they know what they're talking about. They do their research.
So let's start with the two defensive ends. Everybody thought that was going to be a major upgrade. It hasn't been. Just two guys. Just who? Who are they? Guys off the street? Who? What? Who's the guy we got from Kansas City and Buffalo? Who? What? Just linebacker play. It got exposed a little bit last week. It didn't look good. Secondary, our corners. And it's all tied together, man. The problem is the passing game is tied in at the front end and the back end. And so until that gets better, we're going to look like one of the worst defenses, which right now we are 30th, I believe, in the NFL, 30 out of 32 teams. And it's going to be hard. I'm dying to see what Jacksonville does this week. Do they Now, do we get a team that splits somewhere down the middle between the New England game plan and the Buffalo game plan? Or what will they do? So this is what's going to happen. If the players don't play better, then we're going to critique the hell out of every little move the coaches make. And meanwhile, the veteran free agent class, who's played well on the veteran free agent class of all that money we just spent on contracts? Who's played well? Who's made some impact plays so far? Just think of a really huge play in the two losses out of the veteran free agent class. I can't. Van Noy blocked a pass down in the third quarter.
That's almost all you got?
I'm literally part sarcasm here. It's just,
Joe, they're going into Jacksonville 3-point underdogs. I mean,
well, of course they
are. I just didn't think that would be the reality going into this season here.
Vegas,
after 2 weeks,
Vegas looks at how have you played, and now they're going, well, how have they played so far? And Jacksonville's had a chance. Hell, they're almost 2-0, and they're playing great. They got a bunch of guys out there. They got a nice little combination of running the ball and throwing the ball. They got a quarterback that's already got 6 touchdowns. So, yeah, they should be favored. This thing will get better as the year goes on. I do feel like, because I know from last year, I'm going by history, but we just have not done well with veteran free agents. We just haven't. I keep thinking we're going to get these guys, and I get excited, and, oh, this guy did this as a part-time player, and this guy did this, and this guy never gets injured at corner. He's so durable. He gets here in second game. He's freaking out. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here in the show that we'll jump on this morning. A lot of news coming out. A lot of news from around. We got another basketball game tonight as well. We got a pissed off and motivated LeBron James, don't we? We'll come back, talk a little bit about that. But right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. I want to say good morning to South Florida Chevy dealers. I know they're just getting up this morning, guys, just getting going, but it sure is nice to go to work when you got fantastic cars, trucks, and SUVs with a Chevy Open Road Sale event going on. Man, it is on fire right now. And if you're starting to look around for something brand new, whether it's about space, safety features, fuel economy, it's all usually about a really nice look with plenty of room, something that's comfortable that you can afford. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of other things you look at, and, you know, a little bit of stylish things and the latest in technology on the inside. But I got to tell you, 2020, South Florida Chevy dealers absolutely nailed it from top to bottom, man. The new Tahoes and Suburbans, if you need that extra space, oh, so much fun. I love my Tahoe, man. I really do. I invite everybody, take it for a ride. It is so much fun, so much space. And the Silverado trucks, listen, there's durables, any truck. They got the steel bed, but they have so many different styles. Really perfect for whatever your lifestyle is right now. And whether it's a family truck or a working truck or the combo truck, we got the perfect Silverado truck and deal for you right now. And how about the 2020 Traverse, our smaller midsize SUV? Still plenty of space, but still got a great look. Got a great look with all that space. And our smaller SUV, that Equinox SUV, it's got everything you need. Just what you want. You want something small that's still got it all. There you go. And how about the Chevy Blazer? 2020 Chevy Blazer. Smoking hot, man. Smoking hot. Find your reason to switch to your local South Florida Chevy deal. I got good news all over Dade, all over Broward, even Monroe County. Find your new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.